Hey everyone, Rob B here with Rob D, and you are listening to the Property Podcast. It's been a bit of a bonkers first 6 months for the markets of the world, including the property market. But while so much is falling, the property market has boomed. But will the property market continue to boom, or is the property boom now over? Well, in this episode, you'll find out.
Welcome to the Property Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is the show where we take time out for advising a multi-million pound property fund, which you can find out more about at portfolio.co.uk. And we share the knowledge that we've gained from doing that with you for free. We're covering a lot of important topics at the moment, today included. So do make sure you're subscribed to the Property Podcast so you get every episode automatically downloaded to your device for free. On Apple Podcasts, that involves hitting the little plus button. On Spotify, you can just hit follow. But do that, because there's a lot going on in the market at the moment, and it's important to keep on top of it all. So what does the second half of this year have in store? And is the property boom over? Well, you'll find out very soon.
So it's time for our news story of the week. And this week, we bring you, well, it depends on how you view the world, either great news or worrying news. And that is that UK mortgage lenders have told that they can scrap affordability rules for buyers. So at the moment, if you get a mortgage, you have to have a stress test to see if you can afford to pay that mortgage. And that both applies to your own home and buy-to-let mortgages. Now, this has just come through, this announcement, and we've reported on it previously when it was a consultation. But Rob, it's no longer a consultation. A decision has been made. And now the Bank of England have scrapped this rule, which was designed to avoid another 07-08 style credit crunch. But hey, here we are all these years later with it seemingly short memories and lessons forgotten.
Yeah, and the timing is super weird. Because the point of this was, if you're on an introductory rate, which is quite manageable, but then you come to the end of that and interest rates have gone up in the interim, and so you revert onto a much higher rate, this test is meant to make sure that you could afford that. And this test has been in place throughout all the years when interest rates have been next to nothing. As soon as they start coming up, they ditch the test. It's just all in all quite strange. So the loan to income limit is still there. That's the other test. So lenders can only write a limited number of mortgages above 4.5 times salary. But the interest stress test has been removed. And I don't know quite what to make of it, Rob.
It's kind of bizarre, because when we've looked back at previous property cycles, we've said that lessons get forgotten as we come into the boom phase of the cycle. And wherever has gone before, that economic memory, as we've kind of referred to it, I don't know if that's an official term, but that economic memory of the consequences on our previous actions is forgotten. And although we've talked about that happening again, it's kind of weird to see it playing out. Now, it's very early stages at the moment. So what we'll do is we'll cover this story in more detail as we get it in the market update next week. So make sure you join us for that one, because this could have a huge impact on the property market.
Just before we get into our main topic this week, Rob, a bit of news on the Portfolio app, because we've just made investing even easier.
Yeah, it's brilliant having an app, because a bit like a property, you can keep doing it up. And that's what we've been doing with the Portfolio app. And we want to make it even easier to become a property investor. So we've introduced Apple Pay. We'll eventually bring Google Pay in. But for those who have an iPhone, you can now use Apple Pay to deposit your funds to allow you to invest, which means that it's just like swiping a finger. That's just bonkers. That's how easy it is now to become a property investor. You swipe a finger. So if you want to find out more about Portfolio, head over to portfolio.co.uk, where you can get more information and join the waiting list if you want to.
Well, here we are. Somehow, we're halfway through 2022. How did that happen? It's gone so fast. Maybe part of the reason it's gone so fast is it's been such an interesting year. Interesting isn't always what you want as an investor. And there's been lots of unpredictable things going on, which may be making our predictions from the start of this year look a little bit daft. I don't know. But now we're at this halfway point. It seems like a good time to take stock, see where we're up to, see how those predictions are holding up. And then, Rob, get into the question that everyone seems to be asking at the moment and try to give an answer to it, which is the property boom over?
Yeah, of course, everyone wants that answered. And we will get to it. But I think it's worthwhile just looking at what's happened in the first half of this year. And by looking at what we predicted and what actually happened, it'll be an interesting recap and you might get to laugh at our expense. So let's do it. So Rob, let's start off with an area that we've been pretty good at over the years, which is picking the top five cities to invest in. So we use the Home Track data for this, and they report on the growth in these cities. You picked out Liverpool, Manchester, Nottingham. I picked out Liverpool, Manchester, Derby. How are we getting on? Are they near the top?
They're at the top, Rob. We can only get the last 12 months from Home Track, can't get just the last six, but Liverpool, Nottingham, Manchester currently make up the top three. You threw Derby into the mix. That comes up in a different set of data, which hasn't been updated since March. So we can't say how that's doing now, but it was doing very well back in March. So yeah, so far our track record is looking safe there at least.
Excellent. So let's stick with property, as we are the property podcast. We also looked at the overall UK growth. I said 8%. You said 6%. Obviously, we're only halfway through and data lags, but we have data up until the end of May. How are we doing?
Well, year to date, according to Nationwide, prices are up 4.8%, and that was for the first 5 months of the year. So judging by that, if we keep up the current rate of growth, then we've both gone slightly too low, although you're pretty close. But the big question that we're going to be answering in the second part of this episode is, well, is the boom over? Is that rate of growth going to drop, or are indeed prices going to drop, and we're going to end up with less growth over the whole year than we've got for the part year right now? So the jury remains out on that one. But so far, if you assume that the rest of the year is going to carry on in the same kind of way, then we're doing all right.
Cool. So let's rattle through the rest. We said London would grow by 4%. We're about halfway to that number, so that's looking good. Inflation, Rob, we said at 5%, which sounded high at the time and probably felt high, but if anything, it looks like we're going to be undercooking that one. And it probably will end up quite a bit higher. We will see. Still 6 months to go. Base rate, interesting. You said it would stay under 1%. I was quite broad with my prediction. I said the base rate would rise. So it definitely has risen, but it is over 1% now. Interest rates currently are at 1.25%. So, Rob, it might come down. You never know. So you're only wrong at the moment. Doesn't mean you're going to be wrong at the end of the year. We will see. The FTSE. Wow, what a year that's had. I said at some point it would be 10% higher than where it started. And I said it might not end that way. And actually, at some point, it has gone 10% higher. So even though it's collapsed, it's technically correct. And Rob, your prediction is looking good halfway through, because you said it was going to close lower than the time of recording. And when we recorded, it was at 7,465. And it is a lot lower than that at the moment. So again, not looking too bad. Whereas with Bitcoin, one of us looks pretty good and one of us looks a bit silly. So Bitcoin, you said it will fall by more than 30% during the year, but also at some point hits an all-time high, taking it above 69. So you got the 30% bit correct. You might be right about the 69,000, because let's face it, Bitcoin is a bit crazy. I thought that at some point it will hit over 80,000, which is probably why we call the property podcast, not the Bitcoin podcast. But you never know, it might still happen. Bitcoin is a bit nuts. And you know, Rob, I think it might be worth doing a podcast on Bitcoin again. We did one last year, which proved popular. But the reason why I think we should cover it is because a lot of the beliefs around Bitcoin and some of the other cryptocurrencies have kind of been shattered. And it's not to poo-poo crypto. It's actually just a really interesting discussion. So maybe we get onto that in the next few weeks. But overall, at the halfway point, you know, still a long way to go, we're not looking too bad.
No, not at all. Given how weird this year has been, I was actually afraid looking back and thought it could be a lot worse. But there is still half a year to go. And of all the things that we've spoken about where people will be wondering what the rest of the year has in the store, well, the most important, the one they're going to care about most, is house prices. And house prices probably do get fixated on too much. There are other things that are probably equally important or more so, but it makes sense. It's the big headline number. So of course, it's being spoken about a lot. And at the moment, the big question is, we've had a bit of a boom. Is it over? Is this it? The boom kind of took everyone by surprise when it kicked off. Very few people thought that a pandemic and shutting down the economy would be the trigger for property prices to go on an absolute tear, but they have done. But is this the peak? That is the question that people are asking and that we're going to attempt to answer. Well, shall we start, Rob, by running through why people are asking the question in the first place? If everything was just wonderful and house prices were doing well, no one would question it. But there are clearly reasons why people believe that house prices may start to suffer.
Absolutely. Well, everyone's talking about inflation at the moment. Some people are writing books about inflation. And the concern around inflation is justified because it's super high at the moment. And that means there's a squeeze on people and their ability to spend. And if people spend less, then you have a slowdown, which can result in a recession. We are not technically in a recession yet, and it may or may not happen. But you can understand how people are coming to the conclusion that a recession is on the way. More related to property, if wages fall in real terms and interest rates are going up, which they are, then people may not be able to afford the large mortgages that they have. And again, that could cause house prices to fall. And of course, Rob, with all the talk of recession, there's also the media covers the stock market a lot because it's so volatile and there's so much happening right there. And what is happening is the markets are falling dramatically across the world. So people are panicking.
Yeah, but this panic isn't evenly spread. I think it's really interesting because I listen to a lot of US-based podcasts and a lot of UK ones. I've got friends who are sort of either in the US or exposed to that market and others who are more UK-based. Those in the US are freaking out a lot more because the US markets have fallen further and far more dramatically because of all the tech stocks that are listed there. Also, early stage investment in companies in the US is a really big deal and valuations of privately held companies are falling. People who are exposed to the tech sector for employment are worrying in the US because lots of big companies are cutting headcount or slowing down hiring. So I think there's a lot more general kind of world is ending type feel in the US, which could spill over into the US housing market. Whereas in the UK, I don't know if it's just me, Rob, but I don't tend to come across people who are talking about the FTSE falling from 7,400 to 7,000. It just doesn't seem like that big a deal to people.
No, you're right. It's not getting as much conversation. I think we're both probably exposed to more worldwide content, and we probably follow this more closely than the average person. Us ourselves are not panicking, and we'll come on to that and why. But it's interesting to watch the behaviour of the masses. And like you say, in America, they certainly are fearful at the moment. But if a recession happens, does that mean house prices will fall? Well, no, not necessarily, because history shows us this. We've had multiple recessions over the last 25 years, many more over the last 100 years. And sometimes when there's a recession, property prices fall. But most of the time, they don't. And this is because it normally takes a severe recession for the property market to be hurt. So if there are mass job losses or major wage cuts, then that certainly could impact the housing sector. That's not happened yet. And in fact, the job market currently in the UK is ridiculously strong, super strong. The strongest that I've ever remembered it in being in business in over a decade. I've never known it to be so strong. So it's actually quite far away from that point at the moment. And Rob, ultimately, what I'd class as a normal recession in itself doesn't really mean anything. And this could be just a normal recession, which we've had so many times before.
Exactly. We've said it before, but recession is one of those words that just makes everyone panic. It sounds like a scary word. We have to look beyond the word itself and see what it actually means. So if we do technically have a recession from here and output falls slightly for a couple of quarters, which is what the definition of a recession in the UK is, if unemployment stays low and wages aren't falling dramatically in real terms, then it's probably not really going to make any difference to anything. Especially in terms of house prices. You kind of hinted at this already, but there needs to be a trigger. There needs to be a reason why they would fall. And one of those triggers could be generalized panic, a change in sentiment. But I think, as we've already said, that seems unlikely unless you have like a major, major recession. Another one could be forced sales. That's a big one that would really make a difference if people start getting their houses repossessed in large numbers. But based on what we believe is going to happen with interest rates and based on how actually responsible lending has been since 2008, it looks like we're a long way from that happening. Then the other reason is wages. It's wages that underpin people's ability to pay their mortgage and pay more for houses. And interestingly, so far, wages are just about keeping up with inflation. So people's income in real terms isn't falling, even though inflation is really high. So according to the latest ONS release, which goes up to April, growth in total real pay was 0.4%. So after stripping out inflation, people's pay has very slightly gone up. Now, that doesn't mean that they will do in the future. It may have changed since then. But the point is, people's incomes aren't dramatically falling. At the moment, they're not falling at all. And Rob, this for me ties back into what you were saying about the job market. In the current job market, I don't know why the market is so strong. I don't know why the number of vacancies is higher than the number of applicants. So basically the first time ever. But that is the situation. Employees have the power. They know they have the power. And they also know that there's really high inflation at the moment. So they are going to be demanding higher wages as a result. And that is bad news for the Bank of England, who want inflation to come down because it actually contributes to inflation. But good news for the housing market because it provides an underpinning for people to pay mortgages on prices, not just at their current levels, but even at higher levels if wages keep going up as well.
Something else we need to take into consideration is that inflation is really high and property prices are doing strong as well. But actually, when you minus off the level of inflation, property prices are growing, but it'd only be up by a few percent year on year. It wouldn't be as big as it looks if you netted off inflation, the price of everything going up. And actually, that is really interesting when you do consider that, because it's not something that's talked about. But I think the big one for me, Rob, and this is something, again, that I'm not hearing people talk about, is that it's so easy at the moment to take debt on and take cheap debt, whether in the housing sector or beyond. There's just a lot of money in the markets, and that could be consumer debt, which unfortunately is plentiful. And of course, it's also easy to take on debt as a consumer as well at the moment, which I'm not saying that's necessarily a good thing. It's just the case. So the fact that it's pretty easy to obtain a mortgage on a property, if you are doing commercial deals in property, it's easy to attract funding as a consumer. If you want to do some buy now, pay later on your purchases, that's easy to do as well. The last time we had a major property recession, we had a credit crunch. Credit disappeared. It is not disappearing. In fact, if anything, it's increasing. So with a very strong job market in the UK and debt being plentiful, I think all signals are pointing to, Rob, that this year we are going to end up on property prices. It may slow down and not grow as fast as the first 6 months, which would really suit our predictions if that was the case. But I still see it growing in the second 6 months, and there's nothing in the data at the moment that's indicating that that's going to change.
I think that's right. And I think there's a lot of room between prices growing really fast and prices falling. And I think it's likely that the rate of growth will slow. But so far, from everything we've talked about, there's a lot of support, and it's hard to see anything that's going to trigger an actual fall in prices. So really, I think if we're looking at this question, like, is the property boom over? Then what we're sort of asking in another way is, are we in an unsustainable boom? Or to put it another way, have we been in a bubble, and is that bubble going to burst? And if you go back and look at some historical data, I think that's very clearly not the case. So for example, take the 5 years leading up to the 2008 crash. Over those years, there was an average of just under 10% growth per year. So property growth prices grew by 50% over 5 years. That's a lot, but okay, property prices are doing that now. So does that mean we're heading for another 2008? Well, no, because the difference is, over those same 5 years running up to 2008, inflation was less than 2% per year. So real property price growth was about 8% per year, and that's high. Now, like we've said, what is real property price growth? It's hard to say, but it's going to be like, what, a couple of percent maybe? And that is completely different from the situation that we had back then. There's only so long that property prices can run ahead of everything else before it becomes a point where no one can afford it anymore. But at the moment, property isn't running ahead of everything else. Everything's running really fast. So for me, when you take that into account, that really changes the picture. It's really easy to see headlines about property prices growing at 10% a year, go, oh, this can't last. Well, you have to look at it on the whole. And for me, sure, things could moderate, but I can't see anything in what we've talked about that suggests this is going to come to a sudden jarring end.
I absolutely agree, Rob. And that's why we wanted to run through some of the key things that are happening in our economy right now that will impact property prices. Because, you know, it's easy for us to just go, oh, don't worry, guys, with the property podcast, prices are going to boom. We're not that podcast. We are now because that's what's happening. But that's not the drum we've been beating for the last 8, 9 years, however long we've been podcasting. We've talked about what's happening in the market right now. And right now, even though there's a lot of other things to distract us in the world, property is still booming. And based on everything we've discussed so far today, it looks like for the time being, that's going to continue. May not be as strong as the first 6 months, but everything's pointing towards house price growth for the second 6 months. But of course, at the end of the year, we will review and we keep you updated every month in our market updates as well. So hopefully that's reassured you. Hopefully you feel a bit better now about what you're doing, the investments you're making. And let's face it, if you've been invested in property for the first 6 months of this year or the stock market, I know which one I'd prefer. Now it's time for Hub Extra, the part of the show where we'd like to give you more. And remember, that's backed up by our email that goes out each and every Friday, which we aim to make the most valuable email in your inbox each week. Sign up to the Property Hub website for free to get that email. But let's give you something now. And Rob, I love it when you've got a book recommendation. You've reassured me that it's not your book and it is something new, but you've not told me what it is. So please reveal to me and everyone else.
I will. This is a book called 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. And it's got that name because 4,000 weeks is roughly 80 years. So if you've got a pretty good lifespan, that's the number of weeks you can expect to have to live, which is kind of pretty scary to even think about. But the fact that I find that scary to think about is kind of why I wanted to read the book and I enjoyed it, because it's a time management book, but with a twist. But the twist is it's about realizing that you can't manage time. You can't do everything. You'll never get to the end of your to-do list. Nothing will ever be perfect. And it's about learning to be okay with that rather than trying all kinds of tips and tricks and hacks to do more, more, more. And so your life will suddenly be better at this magical point in the future. It's a wonderfully written book, and it's also pleasingly short. So it's under 6 hours on audio. Rob, I know you said that you'd been through an epic book recently, so maybe this could be a good follow-up for you. But I really, really enjoyed it. I found it enjoyable and useful and reassuring all at the same time. And I'm probably going to give it a reread at some point in the future as well. So strong recommendation.
Brilliant. I'll get onto that. And yes, some of the books I've read recently felt like they went on for 4,000 weeks. So a 6 hour one is quite appealing. I'll give that a go. Well, that is us done for another week. We're 6 months in. It's been a super interesting first 6 months of the year for property and beyond. And you know what? If the next 6 months for the world are a little less interesting, that's probably a good thing. But whatever happens in property or the economy over the next 6 months, you know we've got you covered. And we'll start doing that with the market update next week. With so much going on, you will not want to miss it. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.